The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Super Tuesday edition. It's going to heat up in here, I can tell. 844-967-2789. My little buddy joins me at 5, co-devlin from here forward, or at least he claims. We'll see. Dominic joining at 5. Got Fancy Brian right now. Got Evan taking your phone calls at 844-967-2789. But it's time to talk about inflation, just for a minute. And here's the perspective I'd like to take, and I'm going to use some opinion piece, or a opinion piece, Paul Waldman at the Washington Post, to help make my point. There's not a hell of a lot we, the Democrats, can do about inflation at this late hour. But that's not going to stop us from trying, and we're going to put forth many, many bad proposals. And, you know, that's what we, the Democrats, do. We try to solve problems. At least we're trying. The Republicans, they don't even try. They just burn it down, right? That's their plan. Let's round up the trucks and shut it down.
It's a lot easier plan that way.
Let me jump into this piece. Paul Waldman, this opinion piece at the Post. Democrats propose foolish policy with little political benefit. There you go, Dems. Way to make us proud.
Winning!
Every member of Congress is up for re-election, and they're all prisoners of forces outside their control. You can serve your constituencies with skill and compassion, but if you're up for re-election in a bad year for your party, you could be in trouble. On the other hand, if your election comes when everyone is mad at the other party, you could be an outright nincompoop and get swept triumphantly into office. See former Governor Scott Walker. Which is why it's easy to sympathize with Democrats now casting about for some way to show the voters they're doing something about inflation. If that's what people are hearing about on every news every day and seeing at the grocery store, then you'd want them to think their center is tackling that problem. So it is that some Democrats in the Senate are advocating a federal gas tax holiday. Well, that's a game changer, I tell you. An idea, according to Paul Waldman, that it's likely to be both substantively foolish and politically ineffectual. That's why we like it.
That sounds glorious.
Right? The idea started with four Democrats facing re-election this spring in swing states. Mark Kelly of Arizona, Maggie Hassan of New Hampshire, Catherine Cortez Masto of Nevada, and Raphael Warnock of Georgia. It would suspend the 18.4 cents per gallon tax through the end of the year and replace revenue lost to the Highway Trust Fund as much as $20 million, you know, with general funds. So we're just going to not collect the money from the actual users of the highways, those using the gas, if you will, and we're going to backfill with other tax dollars.
Why do a direct something when you can do an end around?
Well, you know, it's not just Democrats. They're not the only ones doing this. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis wants a similar holiday of the state's gas tax, but that just shows how tempting and empty the idea is. If Ron DeSantis likes it, Democrats, shouldn't that give you pause? Would that make a difference in your family's finances? Even if you buy a lot of gas, say 20 gallons a week, that means you'd save at most a whopping $3.60 a week. Why, that's almost 15 bucks a month. That's not exactly going to change your life. It could.
A lot of people complain about gas prices, but they don't actually look at the hard numbers as to 10 cents a gallon. If you fill it up 15 gallons, it's $1.50.
Yeah. Well, you know, you could also get an electric or a hybrid, but people don't want to do that either. You know, how can you coal roll with the hybrid? Here is more from Waldman. Still, the impulse amongst lawmakers is understandable. Your constituents are demanding you do something about inflation. And the truth, if I could eliminate inflation, I would. But I can't. Isn't very satisfying. So what can you do? You're a lawmaker. You propose a law. This paragraph from the Washington Post article sums up the problem well. Behind the scenes, top Biden aides have debated whether it would provide meaningful relief or ultimately serve to benefit the producers of gas more than the consumers of it. Some senior officials also fear the policy might be difficult to end later, since no politician would want to be seen as raising gas prices, according to two people familiar with the matter who spoke on the condition of so they could stay anonymous, right, Brian? See how I got around it?
Yeah, see, you could do a nice end around.
I call it my Green Bay sweep, as Waldman writes. That's all true. And not only that, before Election Day, the price of gas will go up and down approximately 267 times, because that's the number of days between now and then. Maybe prices will be higher in November than they are now, and maybe they will be lower, but nobody knows for sure. So even if you get a day's worth of positive coverage about how you cut the gas tax to give folks some much-needed relief, people are likely to forget about it if they ever hear about it in the first place. That's true a lot of what lawmakers do, and they might figure that even if their constituents just get a fleeting warm feeling about them, it wouldn't hurt. And in the scope of less than worthwhile proposals, this is nowhere near the most harmful. It's not as if they're advocating banning books or privatizing Social Security, and you can find more appalling demagoguery in Congress any day of the week. So the real villain here isn't the legislators trying whatever they can to convince voters they're, well, trying whatever they can. The problem is that inflation and gas prices in particular are complicated challenges that aren't amenable to quick and easy fixes. They're driven by global markets and complex systems. Oh man, now we're talking economy. I'm lost. A little bit more here. They're affected by many variables. No informed person could think that their senator can solve inflation. Don't tell Ron Johnson that. And if the senators were honest, don't tell Ron Johnson that, they'd admit that a big part of their work involves confronting futility much of the time, and the most important problems are the ones that are the hardest to solve. But that's not what voters want to hear. They don't reward thoughtful labor and slow progress. I did what I could, but that isn't much. Doesn't get them rushing to the polls, which makes it hard to get angry about something such as a gas tax holiday. The electric gets as much pandering as it deserves, but we don't have to call it anything else. So, a pander from the Dems. We've had a similar pander from the former Republican governor of the state of Wisconsin. Remember the sales tax holiday? Right around back to school time, you know, you save like $9. Like, now I can really go splurge on some jeans.
Everyone can rejoice.
And it was always, you know, it was relatively inconsequential in the whole scheme of things. But cumulatively, it always cost the state of Wisconsin taxpayers, or the bottom line, the coffers, you know, if you will. It was never great math. It never made a lot of sense. It was always political expediency. But hell, why shouldn't the Democrats play Santa Claus once in a while? Make big, grand, meaningless gestures, just like the Republicans do. 844-967-2789. You're giving me that look, Brian, like I'm somehow being dismissive.
No, it's fine. I was debating whether I want something more than nothing, even if this something is kind of nothing.
I did notice the recent increase in gas at the gas pump. I thought we were down to like $3 a gallon, at least here in Madison, Wisconsin, where I often buy my gas. Today it was like $3.99 at the gallon.
Really?
And I'm thinking, man, that's a lot.
But it was like four, like 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, it goes up and down. It's really high sometimes. It's really low sometimes.
Do you know what people very rarely talk about? As Joe pointed out, I did have a background in real estate and mortgage lending once upon a time. And people forget often about the real estate crash, you know, Lehman Brothers and what happened on Wall Street. And it was what, the frothy exuberance. And you can't, you know, these mortgage-backed securities, they're such complicated instruments. Nobody gets it, so let's not regulate them at all. That was kind of the policy, right? And Wall Street didn't care what kind of crap they were buying, because they were just parts of crap. They were just securitized assets. You took a bunch of crap You put it in a big block and you sold it off. So you only owned a little piece of crap. But the underlying paper, the loans being issued at that time, they were crap. And the people that were issuing so many of those loans, and I was one of them, I didn't even want to issue the loans at that time. The requirements of lending had become so lenient. You know, a guy you wouldn't lend 50 cents to go buy a pack of gum could borrow 100% and go buy a house. And I'm thinking, something's not quite right. You know, these are not creditworthy individuals that you're extending the money to. But as a lender, you got to give the money. If they qualify under the terms of the loan, I can't say, well, not this guy, he's shady. But there are lots of shady people coming in that I'm thinking, man, I wouldn't loan this guy money. Well, the underlying paper, the security, you know, kind of like a Donald Trump financial statement. It was predicated on crap. And so often they were misleading, or they were just fraudulent misrepresentation of the actual income the borrowers had. Or perhaps they were misrepresentations about the value of the assets that they were borrowing against. You know, very Trumpian, if you know what I'm saying. So anyways, here's what most people didn't notice back then. But I noticed. You know what precipitated, at least locally here, and I only speak for Wisconsin, I only speak to the marketplace I worked in, but people would move out of Madison. It was unaffordable here. You couldn't buy a house. The surge in the housing prices was such that people would move farther and farther out, and they would follow the highway arterials, and they'd move up into Columbia County, which is the next adjacent county, and then, hell, they'd move all the way into Dodge County. Because Columbia County got unaffordable for many. And the developments would effectively follow the highways. And it got all the way up to Dodge County. And Dodge County from Madison is like 40, 45 minutes. You can hear us there. 540 AM, 1580 AM, even 92.7 depending on the day. So lots of coverage there. It's a much better place to live than it used to be. But here's what happened. Gas prices soared. And those that had found commuting to be a more affordable way because they couldn't afford the house prices, well, now they couldn't afford their house and they couldn't afford their commute. And it started coming apart. So we are not yet there, but the precipitous rise in gas prices, 2007 timeframe, and the future crashing of the real estate market like a year later, I think they were related. And I think a lot of it is, if you cannot afford urban housing and you move people farther and farther out. And of course, the lending standards were pretty damn lax. The underwriting standards, I mean, it's like Mazars USA was doing everybody's books. Hell, they had people, there were fraudulent shops. And why more people didn't go to prison for mortgage theft, fraud, I'm not exactly clear. Just the sheer scope of the criminality, even locally, it was massive. It was an entire industry predicated in no small part on bad representations, on bad books, and bad valuations, and bad assumptions. And the assumption was housing prices always go up. But what do we got going on right now? We got this sort of skyrocketing housing prices. And we've got the Federal Reserve threatening to raise rates. And we've got gas prices starting to inch up. And I'm not saying we're on a precipice of a, let's say, equity crash. But when my kid says, buy Bitcoin, I'm starting to have a second thought. Although he sees that as some sort of hedge. You know, now real estate in the long term is a great hedge. But you hate to buy at the top and sell at the bottom. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. More monetary and real estate advice from yours truly. Who wouldn't want it? 844-967-2789.
An ominous, really an ominous